Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want to speak to you for a few minutes on this thing about the glorious church. And last time we spoke, it was about the three things, three foundation pieces that Jesus builds his church upon. One is he delivered you from the power of darkness. You remember that? He delivered you. When let me say this. This thing concerning all my sins are rolled away. You remember that line? All my sins are rolled away. How many of you can say all of your sins are rolled away? He's taking care of all your sins. How many of you can say that? How many of you would like to give him praise for that? Absolutely. Yes, Lord. He delivered us from the darkness and delivered us from the power of darkness, number one. And the second thing, building block that he builds upon, his church builds upon, he translates us. He transfers us from the darkness into the light. So you're no longer in the darkness. He delivered you from the darkness and delivered you from the power of darkness. And he has transferred you out of the darkness. So you're no longer in the darkness. So you're the light of the world. If you belong to him, you're the light of the world. And so we have a job to do. We have a job to accomplish. But I want to talk to you today about the third one and its transformation. We talked last time about this is a pivotal part of us becoming the church that God, that Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Jesus is the builder. Jesus is the one that, because he said, I will build my church. You know, it's not being built by a denomination. It's not being built by a man. It's not been built by Terry Howell. It's not been built by anybody other than him. He builds his church. Now, churches can be built around denominations, but they won't be the ones, that hell's afraid of. Hell is afraid of the ones that Jesus has built. A man can build a church, and it will not be able to prevail against the gates of hell. If it's centered around a man, it won't happen. I'm not against denominations. They're healthy. They're good. They're fine. But if that's the main focus, we've lost the focus. We've lost the centrality of our faith. It's not in a denomination. It's in God and God alone. Amen. So, but I'm not. Criticizing denominations. I'm saying we just can't build it around a denomination. It has to be built by him and around the word of God and his presence. So we talked about the renewing the mind in Romans chapter 12 to renew our mind so that transformation can happen. And then when that happens, we're able to authenticate God's will. We're able to prove God's will. People need to know what God's will is. People need to know what God is doing. People need to know what God is doing in your life. What is your story? See, my story is not just I was born again at age 8 at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Holly Springs, South Carolina. That is the beginning of my story in Christ. Right? But my story since then, since age 8, 62 years ago, that's when my story began, and it has been a story that has been forever unfolding, because not just because I'm born again, not just because I was delivered from the power of darkness, but because transformation from time to time was happening in my life. That word transformation, we talked about a little bit. That word transformation, you know, is to have the metamorphosis, like from a caterpillar to a butterfly. The butterfly never goes back to this thing of crawling on the earth. So there, that transformation makes your life completely different. And see, it doesn't happen just one. That happens one time for the butterfly, but that transformation happens to us as we renew our mind, as our thoughts begin to line up with God. Do you know it's easy to become offended at what God is doing? And the reason a lot of times that happens is because we do not understand it with our mind. We try to figure it out mentally, why this happens and why that, and why is this going on, why is that going on? I said, it's not about this, it's about this. Transformation makes it easier for us to be able to receive in our heart what we can't figure out in our mind. Transformation that is so important in our life brings us to the place that we can receive with our heart, even though we can't figure it out with our mind. And one person has said it before, he will offend the mind in order to be able to get to your heart. You know. So, but we talked about that. We talked about the thing concerning the will of God is not really put on display through us completely without having our minds renewed. See, we are to authenticate to others what God's will is in different situations, especially in today. People all over the place are wanting to know, what is God doing? You know, we see a lot of other things happening. But see, the world is yearning, longing for you to manifest, me to manifest as the sons of God, not as the children of God, as the sons of God. It's the weos in Greek, the sons of God, which means the mature ones. Creation is longing to see the children of God grow up to be sons of God and to demonstrate and manifest who he is through their life. That's what all creation is groaning for. All of creation groans to see you and I grow up. That reflects who he is. See, transformed living is the thing that people see. Right? You can have a way of let's say it this way. You can develop a Christianese way of talking because you've been hanging around church or Christians, but it doesn't make you a transformed person. Transformed people are the ones that live out what's in them, live out what's changed them. Have you ever had, after your salvation, have you ever had those moments where something was said, something was done, and it got inside you and it never left? But it transformed how you acted. It changed how you acted. Y'all ever had those experiences? That's part of our transformation. That's our growing up in him and through him. So we can't be people who just pick a chair. That's the one I'm always going to sit in when I come. Even though most of us do that, it's okay. I remember one time we came in here and I said, okay, I want this group to get up and I want you to go over here and I want this group to get up and I want you to go over that. We did that on purpose. And everybody was saying, what are we doing? What are we doing? I'm not used to that. My head's got to turn this way. No, there wasn't anybody saying that. But you know, just to say, okay, we're still here. We're still together, right? Transformation is the renewing. After the renewing of our mind, we're transformed so we can know the will of God and we can authenticate the will of God. amen? But I want to, because if we don't do that, the will of God will not be demonstrated fully on this earth because it is to be demonstrated through us that we may prove what the will of God is, the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. He's banking on you and I to do this. We need to get at it. We need to be able to study the word. We need to be able to memorize the word. We need to be able to think about, meditate, toss this thing around and study it in such a way that it gets inside us and let it become revelation to us. And it's only going to come by the Spirit of God. I know a lot of people that can quote a lot more Bible than me, but they don't live it. See, it's not about that. It is about our life being changed. Now, this other part two of transformation comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And the time's a little bit short, but seven through 18. But I'm going to read verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now a good way to say this is it says the Lord is the Spirit. Amen. The Lord is the Spirit. Then it goes on, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Another way of saying that is where the Spirit is Lord, where the Spirit is Master, there is liberty. There's a freedom that you'll experience that you won't experience any other time. He said, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror or a glass, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. There's that same word, transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So here's part two of being transformed. Part one is the renewing of our mind. Part two is beholding who He is, His glory, and we'll get to that in just a moment. His glory, and as we behold Him, we will be changed into His image. Part two. Part one is getting in the Word, understanding and learning it, eating it. And part two is the thing about beholding who He is. Now, where are you going to find that? In the Word. You're going to find that. Now, to help explain this, Moses in Exodus 33, you know, they was about to take a journey, and he said, Lord, if you don't go with us, please don't let up. We don't want to go unless you go with us. You know, so we don't send us out if you're not going with us. You know, because he goes on, he says, how will we be different? How will we be recognized as different than any other people? So the Lord did go with them, right? Fire and cloud. He did go with them. But right after that is when Moses prayed this, because he knew the Lord told him, said, you found favor. You've got my favor. And then he said, if I've got your favor, I want to let me see your glory. I want to see your glory. Now, this is show me your glory. Is actually what he said. Show me your glory. And the Lord said, well, it said over in Exodus 34, verse 2 and 3, it said, so he told, the Lord told him, said, come ready in the morning and come to Mount Sinai. Excuse me. And present yourself to me. You hear that? He said, show me your glory. I want you to come in the morning, and I want you to present yourself to me. I found that very interesting. So he's telling him, this is Old Testament, he's telling him to position himself to see what the Lord wants to show him. Because he tells him, he said, no man can see my face and live, but I am going to show you something. I'm going to show you my glory, but it's not going to be in my face because you can't look on my face. So he hides him in a cliff, in the, you know, a cliff of rock, and says this in chapter 34, verse 6 through 8. Says this, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, proclaimed, the Lord is God. Compassionate, gracious. This is what he begins to see as the Lord passes by. The Lord takes his hand off. God takes his hand off of Moses' feet, and he begins to see as he's walking by on past. He sees compassion, and he says he's gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, abounding in truth. He who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, who forgives transgression and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship his, watch this, and worship his nature and his character. What is the glory of the Lord? His nature and his character. So when we see this and he says, you know, show me your face. He can't see my face, but I'm going to show you my glory. You're going to see the glory of the Lord. And his glory is his character. His glory is his character and his nature. You hear that? You see that? So when God, when we say, okay, I really want to glorify God. How do you do that? Based on what you just learned, how do you do that? If you're going to glorify God, you're going to demonstrate his character. You're going to demonstrate his nature. That's how you glorify God. You say, well, isn't clapping hands and singing it? Aren't we glorifying God then? You know, Jesus said, you know, you can do all of that and it be noise. And the reason for that is like, you worship me that way with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Being in the heart of, I want to be more like him every day of my life. And to be able to be like Jesus, and to grow into being like Jesus, what one thing has to happen? Everybody say the word, change. You have to change. You have to renew your mind, and then you have to start beholding him. He said, as in a glass with unveiled face. The reason your face is unveiled is because you have turned to the Lord. That's what it says. Everybody that has not turned to the Lord, there's a veil over their face that they cannot see with their heart who Jesus really is. That's the reason when a lot of times when the scriptures are read, they can't hear it and they can't see it. Why? They've been veiled. Why? They have not turned to the Lord. See, when you turn to the Lord, the ability to see with your heart is there. But are you searching? You have the ability to see, but don't see. I heard a man say one time, he said, the greatest disaster is not being blind. The greatest disaster is having eyes, but refusing to see. That's a much greater, or even here, is not being, the greatest disaster is not being deaf. The greatest disaster is having ears to hear and not listening. See, we've got to be at that place to where we are in pursuit of him. We already have him, but how much of us have we genuinely yielded to him? See, that's the big question. See, the church will become very will have a very large impact on society, on the community, on the county, on you know, wherever we are. We'll have a higher impact and influence when we are a transformed living people. Not just because we've been delivered from the power of darkness, not just because you know that we've been out of the dark, been removed from the darkness into the light, but because we are being transformed in our mind and we're beholding his nature as we gaze into the scriptures and we see his nature and we begin to meditate on his ways and his character. That's when the church is going to have the highest impact on everyone that we're around. Now, is everyone just going to fall over and say, hey, look, I really like... No, not everybody. Matter of fact, it will bring persecution. It will bring people that hate Christ, and they'll hate you. They'll hate me. See, a transformed life through your mind being renewed and beholding his nature, looking at it and absorbing it. Because the Bible says that what you behold in this passage, what you behold, you will become like. What you meditate and reflect upon, what you really give interest to, is what will begin to transform you. Do you know that's one of the things you have to be careful of is what you're beholding. What is it that has your attention? What is it that has dominated your life? What dominates you? What dominates your time? What dominates how you live? I mean, is it the life of Christ being in you, and then you have an opportunity where, I'm not saying you become religious. You know, being a religious person is trying to make everything your way. It has to be your way. See, the church needs to learn how to prefer one another. How to love one another. We want to reach a world with what we say. And the Bible says you will reach this world by what you live. All the world will know that you are my disciples when they see what? Your love one for the other. But we got this church and that church. When I say this, it's like people. We're the church. We don't like this church. We don't like that. We don't like that. We don't like this. You're not supposed to like. You're supposed to love them. By this, they will know that you are truly my disciples when they see you love, your love, one for the other. Amen. But see, this thing about singing in a mirror, they didn't have mirrors and they didn't have glass. But they didn't have mirrors. They would pound metal and they would polish it so fine that when sun reflected on it, it would almost blind you. So this passage is talking about as you behold his character, as you behold his glory. See, this thing, as beholding as in this mirror, this glass, the glory of the Lord, as you begin to behold his nature and his character, you begin to see who he really is. Not what someone's told you about, but you see who he really is. You see, when that happens, you and I are being transformed into the very image of glory that we see. That's the reason he says from glory to glory. You will change into the image from glory to glory, from glory to glory to glory to glory. As we reflect, as we dwell and think and meditate and we see who he is in the scriptures. When this happens, I'm going to close. When this happens, we will be able to show forth who he is because we've seen his glory and not only seen it, his character, but now we understand that we have his character and we're getting in touch with the character that is inside us, the glory. See, Jesus says, the same glory, Father, the same glory that you have given me, I have given to them. The same glory you have given me, I have given to them. God wants us to wake up to his presence in a way that the transforming of how we think about things. Let me pause for a moment. This thing about what is dominating, you know, is the news dominating you right now? Is it transforming you into him? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Why? It has so much negativity in it. It just oozes with negativity. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't be knowledgeable about what's going on, but what dominates you? The conversation of the election, the conversation of all the news and whatever they're putting out will dominate conversations. It will just dominate life. It's not meant to be that way. It's really not. He should dominate our living, our thinking, our perception. He should dominate it. His character should dominate it. Look at everything through that lens of who he is and our mind being transformed, looking at every situation through him. Then you'll be able to bring to earth what is set in heaven. That's what he said, the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's looking for the church. God is the one that does the transforming. He does it, but he needs you to say, yes. Yes. I want to be more like him. I want to know more about his divine nature. You know, this last passage that I'll just read to you. This is out of the Message, and it's over in Peter. I want you to listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to this. And it's that, like, once again, the sound of the message. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Everything we've ever already in us. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through glorious manifestation of his goodness. We sang about it. As a result, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with his divine nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires of the world. So, devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness, and goodness with understanding, and understanding with the strength of self-control, and self-control, patience and endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness add mercy toward your brothers and sisters, and mercy toward others add an unending love. Since these virtues are already planted deep within, and you possess them in abundant supply, they will make you and keep you from being inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Christ Jesus more intimately. But if anyone lacks these, he's blind. He's closing his eyes to the mysteries of faith, not realizing that his sins have been washed away. For this reason, beloved, be eager to confirm and validate that God has invited you to salvation and he has claimed you as his own. If you do these things, if you begin to go from glory to glory, from character to character, from nature to nature of God and who he is, he said, if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will never stumble. As a result, the kingdom's gates will be wide open to you as God choreographs your triumphant entry into the eternal kingdom of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beautiful passage. What's he saying? Get to being transformed, and we will change the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and your goodness. Lord, there is the evidence all around us and in us that you have covered us, showered us with your goodness and with your glory. Help us to take up the challenge of becoming transformed and therefore making a difference, a huge difference in all the places that we go. We love you. We worship you. and we acknowledge you as the one who transforms our lives. Make us more like Jesus Christ every day of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, online folks. It's good to have you today. Come on back next week at the same time, and we'll see what the Lord has in store for us. For you parents, click on the videos that are there so you and your children can enjoy what they have prepared and the teaching and worship of your children. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.